into the night. You say you got. All right, here we're back and another thing. And I didn't really, you know what? We covered absolutely everything on my list. So I have the only thing we didn't cover, and then we could just talk free about whatever, is did you see the story about the honor roll student who was banned from graduation because her shirt, she wore a shirt that exposed her collarbone?
Yeah. Oh my God. 4.4
GPA.
You could have seen what the hell I had on at my graduation. I believe it was a tube top.
Oh yes. I loved the tube tops.
With gauchos.
Yes.
Oh, or like, you know, a skort or some shit. It was 1983. What do you want from me?
Oh, I love, I used to wear the tube tops. I was just talking about the other night, that I would wear the tube tops, and you know, I'm not small chested. And I didn't wear bras, and I used to freaking wear them in front of my father. I can't even imagine.
Me too. My dad used to just like shake his freaking
head. My dad
head.
Never said anything.
My dad would never have. I do recall one time him asking me as he's dropping me off my freshman, or I couldn't drive. So I was like a freshman or a sophomore, and I had the same job at a pizza parlor all through high school. And I had white dolphin shorts with a navy blue polo that said Stuffed Pizza. That was the name of the place. And I had on my legs and my teeny, teeny, weeny little shorts. And he's dropping me off and he goes, "They let you wear that in there?" And I'm like, "Yeah, Dad." And I'm going to beer bong later. Come get me at 11:30.
Yeah, well, I do remember I was wearing my tube top with no bra. And my stepmother pointed that out. She's like, talking to my father, she's like, "Look at Kimberly's top." And
is it cute?
He didn't say anything. I'm pretty lucky my dad just left me alone. He didn't say anything. But yeah, this girl, she's got a 4.4 GPA. She told NBC Charlotte that she was sitting in the cafeteria when the school's principal asked her to put on a jacket because her shirt went against the school's dress code.
Ugh.
Because it partially showed her shoulders and her back. And then, you know, so she said that she thought it was fine, and the principal basically wanted her to change her outfit altogether. Mm-hmm. Let me see here. And then evidently, I guess, that she wasn't allowed to participate in graduation. I mean, it's freaking, you know, boys, you never, not that I want to, not that I think boys deserve to be criticized for what they're wearing or held back from graduation or asked to change their clothes or go home from school. But, you know, a lot of them wear those low shorts that expose their, you know, underwear.
Whole underwear and the butt, you know, forget it.
Which is basically a prison thing. Isn't that, there was like that thing going around on Facebook explaining that it was some kind of a prison message that they're, you know, open to.
Lovely. You can walk through the graduation line with a prison message, but heaven forbid your clavicle is exposed.
Yeah, because the message there then is that boys are unable to have any restraint whatsoever, and it's all on the girls. It's always all the girls' fault.
Always.
Oh my God. Sick of it.
I am too. Damn it.
Ugh. You know, hopefully one of these days things will change, but I don't know. It's certainly not going to happen with the Trump world. Because I'm still seeing on these feminist pages, now it's kind of, I'm not going to name, except for one page that I post on. And I'm not the sole poster. I'm not the sole admin, but I basically run Rock the Slut Vote. There are other people on that page who post content, so it's not just me. But that page just got one of the messages from one of the fuckheads from the fuckhead brigade about I'd like to speak to the man in charge. But it's another page that has feminism in the title. And it's just almost every day, sometimes two or three times a day, "I'd like to speak to the man in charge. I'd like to speak to the man in charge." For a while, I was having fun kind of batting them around. Mm-hmm. Now I just block them. It's like I ban them. I don't even answer because it's like, whatever. I'm not interested.
It's like, first of all, you weren't funny ever. And now you're just irritating the living shit out of me. Yeah. Get a better joke.
Yeah, I know. Come up with something new. Impress me.
Make me laugh.
Make the effort.
If you make me laugh, we got something going on. Yeah. Then it's fair game. But you're just lame at this point.
Yeah.
Go away.
It's like, I don't know what they think they're accomplishing, they're just getting themselves banned, which is just ridiculous. But whatever. But, you know, this is something that happened right after Trump. I don't know if it, I can't remember when the first one hit, but it was after Trump, whether it was after he was elected or after he was inaugurated. It was, you know, those, mm-hmm. those are the kind, like, I am just so waiting though for him to leave. And all yeah. of these people who think, you know, I mean, you see the videos of assholes who are being mean to, you know, whether it's Mexicans or Muslims or whatever. Because, you know, there was that one Texas video a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if you saw it. That guy on the beach, he was screaming at a Muslim family. Did you
no,
see that? Oh,
I
God,
didn't
he was such a jerk.
It.
And then it was so great, though, because he got arrested. And then his mugshot was going crazy on the internet. And he just looked like a big fucking crying snowflake, which was funny because they love to call us the snowflakes. But, you know, he got arrested. And then he was crying and he looked all pathetic. But it's like they're emboldened now and they feel like they can just go up to people and be assholes.
Yeah. I mean, as a kid who, you know, I'm Mexican on my father's side, I'm very brown. And I grew up hearing that a lot, and people directly to my face would call me beaner or get out of here, you little beaner. I remember hearing that when I was like a fifth grader from a girl who was a middle schooler, and I lived across the street from a really cool eighth grader who was so nice to me, and she had friends over, and I walked up because I would always go to Cindy's house and I was always welcome there. And the girl looks at me and she goes, "What are you doing here, you little beaner? Get out of here." And I just remember not even really knowing, but like getting it. Okay, beans, I'm Mexican. Okay, yeah. I kind of put it together. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it was just so like to the core and cruel. And to this very day, when I see stuff like that, and I, you know, you watch the people in the grocery store screaming at the Hispanic woman who wants to just grab her, you know, Prilosec off the shelf, and the woman tells her to go back to Mexico. And then a black woman comes to her defense, and then she calls that black woman the N-word. It's like, oh my God, like this is very much alive and well.
Yeah.
And it just, it kind of freaks me out. Then I have a kid, you know, my kids are, they're Russian Jew on their dad's side. They're Mexican, they're Italian. They've got some American Indian, you know, they've got all this stuff. And I said something in front of my 9-year-old where I was like getting something done, you know, and I was on the telephone and she looks at me and she goes, "Right on, Mom, Mexicans rule." And I'm like, that to her is like it's a proud thing. That's a feather in her cap.
Yeah.
I got all these different things going on. But, you know, that's where we live.
Right.
That ain't happening.
Exactly.
That ain't happening all over the country.
Yeah, that's not the Tennessee crowd.
No.
You know, I grew up in Southern California. I moved there in 77 at the age of 9. And I always kind of really appreciated Mexican culture because it's such a big deal in Los Angeles. I mean, there's Olvera Street and, you know, there's such a large Mexican population. So many of my friends growing up were Mexican. Obviously I love Mexican food and, I don't know. There's such an influence of Mexico in California, specifically in Los Angeles. And, you know, I mean, everything is Los this and Los that, and,
right.
and even Los Angeles and, you know, so many of the street names and cities and all of this are, you know, go back to Mexico. So I always kind of really liked that culture and appreciated what Mexican culture brought to Los Angeles. And, you know, I mean, I know I heard the term beaner and, you know, I mean, I've heard all the derogatory things said about Mexicans, but it's like, well, I've had plenty of Mexican friends and they were just obviously just like everybody else, you know?
It's right.
Like, it's just so sad though. And, you know, I mean, we had, you know, first we get a black president, which just freaks everybody out. I actually had a friend, not friends with her anymore, but, for good reason, but her boyfriend and he was Italian, when Barack Obama got elected, he said it was, he's like, "Oh great. It's the blackification of America."
Ugh.
I mean, exactly.
What the
That's
hell?
How I felt. And, you know, she was at the time my very good friend. And it was like, what am I going to do? Yell at her for something stupid her boyfriend said. But, you know, clearly this pissed off a lot of the white people and we saw a lot more obvious racism. Mm-hmm. And now that he, I don't think Trump won per se. I mean, yes, Trump won, but he won with a lot of help from the Russians.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was some kind of, I guess, in their eyes, like, oh, well, we got it back, or we're showing you. And it wasn't even legitimate. And then, you know, and then they just think they've won something. And it's like, well, you haven't won anything. Nothing.
No, you cheated, A, but yeah. You haven't won anything, because look at the uprising that's taking place. And if anything, you know, I don't remember if it was you and me. It wasn't. I don't think you and I have ever thanked Trump for anything. But someone I was talking to, of course, about politics, because what else is there to talk about? what am I going to eat? And politics is pretty much it.
Yeah.
But someone who said, you know, I feel like, you know, I'm thankful because he woke us all up.
Yeah.
You know, and I wouldn't go so far as to say I'm thankful.
Right.
But I am happy to see people standing up and resisting and staying woke.
Yeah.
As they like to say, you know, in the Maxine Waters camp.
Yeah.
And you know, I watched Barbara Lee with her little cardigan this morning standing there and saying, "This is just a bunch of BS."
Yeah.
These tax cuts for the rich. And the gutting of the entitlements, and they're just not having it.
Yeah.
They are not going to have it. And I love these people. And you know what? It's a bunch of really kick-ass women.
Yeah.
And, you know, my son, who is almost 13 years old, says to me, "I just want to make sure it's not because she's a woman that you agree." And I'm like, no, honey, that's not why. I agree with a lot of kick-ass men too.
Yeah.
But I happen to really dig it when it's a woman who stands up and people listen.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got to understand, that's not how it's been.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a loudmouth mother effer, and I always have been. But that's just because I had a dad who was too. And he said, just say what's on your mind. Just mm-hmm. be ready to back it up.
Yeah.
You know? Be ready to back it up.
Yeah. Baby. Well, and oh, you know, you were talking about earlier about shows that you like and what get you through. And you mentioned, you know, we were talking about Bill Maher and John Oliver. Have you seen The President Show?
No.
Oh,
what?
I totally have to see this. It's on Comedy Central. You can go online and see it, but it's on Comedy Central every Thursday. And then, of course, you know, there right now, I believe there's 4 or 5 shows that are on demand.
And, lovely.
This guy does such a fantastic impression of Trump. He's so funny. But, you know, Bob and I like to watch the show, and Bob recognized, or, you know, found him first, I think. and so the thing that Bob had pointed out, and he's absolutely right, is that the way that what makes him different or sets him apart from some of the other Trump impersonations is that he goes to the dark side. He like, for instance, one of the things that he had Deepak Chopra on, right?
Mm-hmm.
So and so the whole setup is like it's a talk show. So the guy who plays Trump, and hold on, Bob, what's his last name?
Atamanik.
His name is Tony Atamanik. Anthony Atamanik. And so he plays Trump, and then they have him sitting at the White House Oval Office desk, and then there's like a sofa next to the desk as if it were like the late show. And Mike Pence is a sidekick. So, you know, they have a little bit of talking back and forth at first, and then they do skits or whatever, occasional skits. And so he had Deepak Chopra on, and they were, you know, of course, Deepak was telling him that he has to do some meditation and explore, you know, his own feelings and everything. So Trump goes into this, I don't know, it's like in like his private thoughts in his brain. And so he acts this out, and it's quite dark. And I told my mother to watch it. And, you know, I mean, I watched it and I laughed. But at the same time, while I laughed, it was quite dark. It's like you recognize that and you're like, wow. And so I told my mom, oh, my God, you have to see this. So she watched it and she said, I actually cried because it was so close to the truth.
Yeah.
But that said, there was another segment that I think I was laughing so hard I was crying. he went to go visit, Trump went to go visit, you know, this Tony, I'll never say his name right. Anyway, went to a school to visit like young kids, like a nursery school. And there was this whole scene where he's like, you know, jumping around on the, what was that jump thing called? What are those things called that they're like little?
It's a hippity hoppity.
Hippity hoppity.
Oh, I love those.
And he's hippity hopping around. He's going, yeah, like a little kid would. And then Pence tells him it's time to go. And Trump doesn't want to go. And he's literally dragging Trump off of the hippity hoppity. And Trump starts throwing a major temper tantrum like a little kid would. And it's so funny. And you have to see it. You should watch the show. I guarantee you.
I will. It's called The President Show.
The President Show. It's on Comedy Central. And I think there's like, evidently, I haven't seen it, but there's the one with Keith Olbermann that's supposed to be really good. Dan Savage. And then I don't remember the one, the guest. Oh, I know. The guest who was on with the temper tantrum was that woman who started the Women's March. One of the women who started the Women's March.
Okay. Linda Sarsour. All right. Well, I know what I'm doing tonight. If I can keep my eyes open.
Yeah, you've got to watch it. But if you can, wait, Bob, what's her name again?
It's Linda Sarsour.
Okay, watch that one. Watch the Linda Sarsour one if you're going to watch anything tonight, because that the temper tantrum one is so funny. It's so funny, I promise you.
Okay. Awesome. I need something good. I tried. I need, you know, I'm waiting for Game of Thrones and I'm waiting for House of Cards and Peaky Blinders. Those are my shows.
I haven't even heard of that last one.
Oh, Peaky Blinders is great. It's British Netflix.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Killer. And Cillian Murphy is the star. It's fantastic. Okay. It's really good. There's only 6 episodes a season and they've had 3 seasons. You could get through it in a weekend.
Right.
You know, or
yeah.
I could.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling so well. Mommy has to sit in bed. Peaky Blinders, Peaky Blinders, Peaky Blinders. So I've been looking for something. I watched Billions last night for the first time. Just, you know, what the hell? I'm not a fan. I won't go back.
I've never even heard of that.
It's Showtime. Anyway. Oh, okay. You know, I got to keep myself entertained. I need fake stuff to entertain me rather than, you know, the Pope asking the president if he eats pizza to entertain me. I'm ready. I'm ready to go to a real fake universe.
Yeah. Well, our schedule is, you know, we obviously, Bob and I, we do our news thingies all day long, podcasts, writing articles, scheduling on Facebook, whatnot. You know, we have our dinner, we watch Rachel Maddow, and then that's it. Then we, you know, we go off to some kind of a movie or television show or something that's escapism completely. So we can have, you know, both of us are political junkies and, mm-hmm. you know, we have to get our fix all day long.
Everybody's a political junkie, I think.
Yeah.
Now, my mom, gotta go, Rachel's on. You know, I mean, it's like everybody is.
Yeah. Kids, my mom is 3 hours earlier than me and she's like, you've got to watch Rachel tonight. She's on fire.
Oh, yeah. I watch the early feed or I listen to the early feed because I have Sirius in my car. I always did it because I wanted Howard Stern. Now I just listen to MSNBC on a loop. And then when they go to commercial, I flip it to CNN because I'll take that as a close second.
Yeah.
And then I go right back. Like it's craziness. And then, you know, we go to the movies. I look forward to Wonder Woman coming out. Yeah. And yes, son, I am interested in that because she's a badass woman. If you must know.
Yes. And I have a Wonder Woman bracelet now. Well, I mean, it's what I like to call a Wonder Woman bracelet. It's one of those.
Cuff.
Like, yeah. Large.
I want one on each arm.
Yeah. So cool. Should... I love them.
Ooh. I just had a really good idea.
Huh.
I want to do like Wonder Woman cuffs for like the resistance, right? Uh-huh. Where maybe we sell these, we make them up, we sell them, and they're, you know, women who want to resist can get their cuffs, and we, you know,
it's
we
like
show up.
Big R on them.
That's what I'm talking about. like you know how the X-Men have the X inside the circle? We do some sort of an R, and it's on a cuff, and you know, a portion of the proceeds could go to, you know, NARAL or you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Okay. All right.
Then. I do know what you're saying.
We go, a portion of the proceeds go to people who are running in districts where we want to try to flip.
Yeah, that would probably be the best.
That's it right there. Okay.
Well, you gotta go.
Maybe I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, you go do it.
Someone's gonna steal my idea. I said it here first, people. You want in though. I know someone. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. Do we have any more time left? Because there's one little thing I want to bring up.
Go for it.
Okay. Have you heard that? This was an article that came out yesterday saying that Trump wasn't always so linguistically challenged and what could explain the change, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And that he might have some cognitive troubles going on, and his speech has gone from articulate even back in the 80s and 90s to like almost monosyllabic, and his vocabulary has decreased and diminished so much, deteriorated. Is what they're saying. You know, there's a sentence that they use at the beginning of the story. I'm going to read this to you, okay?
Okay.
It's this that's making professionals wonder what in the hell is going on. And here it is. There is no collusion between certainly myself and my campaign, but I can always speak for myself and the Russians, zero.
Mm-hmm.
That was a sentence.
Mm-hmm.
There's no collusion between certainly myself and my campaign, but I can always speak for myself and the Russians, zero. Like that was flow that came out of his butthole shaped mouth. And yeah, right. Okay. So that, you know, they call it tortured syntax. Like they're saying that there might be some sort of like cognitive deterioration that's taking place in this man's brain.
Well, you know, I saw David Pakman actually did a video outlining this. And, you know, he specifically said, I'm not trying to claim that I'm a doctor or whatever. But take a look at how he spoke, like you said, back in the 80s or when he was in his 40s. And compare that to now. And although he didn't use that particular sentence that you just used, there was another one that was, you know, similar. And
well, any sentence. You could pull literally any sentence any day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also I can't remember the specifics of this, but how many times he would use certain words like the term like or just simple words and variations of that word. Thing was one of those words. And mm-hmm. I believe that he used the I don't know if I can find it fast enough, but there was the Trump quote on what was it, uranium? Was that the quote, Bob? The uranium? Was it?
I don't remember what you. It was about uranium.
Remember that quote that he said? I think it was about Hillary Clinton or something, or uranium.
Oh yeah, selling the uranium. Yeah.
Right. And so I don't remember what his quote was, but I think thing was used. I'm looking it up right now. I think the term thing was used multiple times, or let's see if I can find it. I don't know if I can find it fast enough. But it made no sense. It was just the craziest thing. And it was pointing out just what you were pointing out that, like, okay, here it is. I think he said uranium is fortunately, no, he said it was used for bad things.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah. Wasn't it during a debate?
I think so.
Or uranium he's, okay, here it is. Here it is. Bad it says, things.
Yeah. It says, you know what uranium is, right? Of course, my stupid thing. Okay, you know what uranium is, right? This thing called nuclear weapons, like lots of things, are done with uranium, including some bad things.
Oh my God!
So that's one. Okay, so you know what? One, two, three. The one sentence things was used three times, and then he said. Hillary Clinton gave them 20% of our uranium. Hillary Clinton did a reset, remember, with the stupid plastic button that made us all look like a bunch of jerks. That was right after the
bunch uranium. Of jerks.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Obama talk like that?
His speech pattern, I know. His speech and the way he speaks, yeah, clearly it appears something is up. I mean, we're not doctors and we don't know. We're not diagnosing him. But all you have to do is listen to the man. And it's not
right.
a far, it's like, it's just like the idea that Melania and he were, you know, drafting up divorce papers and then he got elected. Mm-hmm. It's not that far of a jump to think that that's possible.
No. It's totally I think possible. It's quite, yeah. So we'll see. We shall see.
Yeah.
Time will tell. And I'm, you know, we'll just be patient and watch it unfold.
Yes, we will. Yeah. And it's just crazy. Do you know when he's coming back from his trip?
Well, okay. So wasn't it cut short to, was it cut short to 5 days?
I don't know.
He might be on day 5 right now. Maybe it was cut short to 9 days. So he's in Belgium now. He'll probably be back by the end of the week.
Yeah.
And you know, he's tired. He's a very tired man.
Yeah, but Hillary didn't have the stamina.
No. Hillary didn't have the stamina, but on day 2 of his trip, he canceled an event.
Yeah.
God only knows.
Fucking asshole.
Oh,
well.
Well,
we're going to be back next week. So we'll be bitching and complaining some more about Trump next week.
And God only knows what. Well, you know what? Let's make a list. We'll have this to remember. And then we have 7 more days to gather some fantastic new information.
Yes. God only knows what we're going to be able to talk about next week because, you know, what bombshells are going to happen before next Wednesday.
Oh my gosh. Will Comey have testified?
I don't know. They said that he was postponing it to talk to Mueller first. So we'll see. We'll see.
I don't know. They can't get on each other's calendars?
Well, supposedly it was after Memorial Day. So right. We'll just see what happens.
God, the sooner the better.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. And we will see you next week. Thank you, Stephanie. See ya.
Yes. Always a pleasure. I just couldn't wait to see.